Hey, this is Jeremy Roenick, and guess what? You guys are listening to the Jim Bob Show.
Hey, this is Wayne Larrabee, and you're listening to Roar on WGN.
Hey, this is Jim McMahon, and you're listening to the Jim Bob Show.
I had to pop a beer for this one.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Brian Urlacher, and you're listening to the Jim Bob Show.
That's awesome.
Oh,
that's
it. How about one? This is Brian Urlacher. I'm not a bitch.
No.
That's about love that one.
Hey, this is John Gruden.
We went ahead and made a commitment to the Bears and ponied up and got the suite. It's been a big disappointment.
Well, you're a hard guy to please. Don't forget that. You're a hard guy to please.
Yeah, they're 40-1, which is shorter than I thought. You know, it.
Why aren't they 100-1?
Yeah,
you know?
I know.
720 WGN high atop Chicago skyline studio on a beautiful day. Gazing out at Navy Pier, Lake Michigan, and all that. It is the Jim Bob Show, game day edition, heard here and on great stations all around the country. And Jim Bob on the line, a good friend, a great player, and someone receiving a very deserving honor.
This is my all-time favorite, number one first-round draft choice of the NFL, okay? This is my all-time favorite first-round draft choice of the NFL. Good buddy, my buddy Billy Bob Moss. Welcome to the show. We're going to talk about Billy Bob getting into the Kansas City Chiefs Hall of Fame. Welcome, brother.
Thanks, guys. You guys are... You're wired this morning.
Oh, buddy, Dane has had coffee, and I've had three Mountain Dews, my friend. Is that but you know, we are locked and loaded, baby. We are taking fun to the casket, man. Is that so, Billy? You're going into the Chiefs Hall of Fame. It is a fantastic honor, long overdue for my friend, Billy Bob, Hall of Famer. How's that sound to you? How's that feel? Be honest.
I'll be real honest with you. You know, it's something that you know you always want to be a part of. And once you get the call and you're in that group and you sit there and you think, man, I really wasn't that good, you know? And because you're humbled by all the other people that are in there. I know most of them too. I've got the opportunity over my time in Kansas City to meet most all of them and how much they meant to the organization. So to be a part of that group is really humbling.
Well, you talk about this and being in good company and to be a part of course, you can't necessarily control where you play, right? Where you get drafted, but super fortunate to be in one of those cornerstone franchises for the NFL. And when you look at that company that you're in, that team photo, it's got to be good. But talk a little bit about it. Not only to be in a Hall of Fame and recognized, I think wherever you are, that is definitely an honor. But for the Chiefs, it's like nothing against the, you know, the Jacksonville Jaguars Hall of Fame, right? But it's just not the same. Like the Chiefs, that's a big deal.
Yeah. You know, historic, right? Storied franchise. Lamar Hunt created the AFL and everything that's gone along with that. And to where it is today, the organization with, you know, four Super Bowl trophies and the Chiefs Kingdom and the following it has, it's almost like a cult now. It's something cool to be a Chiefs fan, but to be a part of that, you know, to get to that place where you helped turn that team around, you helped turn the corner, building with Marty Schottenheimer and in the playoffs every year, getting a little bit better every year, never been able to get to the dance, but just being part of that transition, it makes you proud inside.
You mentioned the fans. I think that is so important because I think the Chiefs fans, Chiefs Kingdom, right, is just a big part of really the persona, maybe the success. You know that it buoys the players too, and home games are definitely a place where you have an advantage. Talk a little bit about that because you know what? It isn't just stats. You mentioned, hey, there's other players that maybe had better stats than me, but it is, I think, a full circle thing. And just the way that you are beloved, not only by the team itself, obviously to get this honor, but by the fans, right? And that all comes into play too.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, the Kingdom, it stretches far. I mean, it's not just Kansas City Metro, right? I mean, you're here in the Midwest, and we go from South Dakota all the way down to Oklahoma, you know? So, yeah, you get all the state of Missouri, and you get all the state of Kansas, and Iowa, Nebraska. I mean, the Kingdom is deep, man. So it's widespread, and to be a part of Arrowhead Stadium and everybody to this day, I mean, it's church. Mm-hmm. They go there. They can't wait to get there. They get there and start getting in line the night before the games. the tailgating, the atmosphere, and the ruckus, the noise, the, you know, the loudest stadium in the world, to be a part of that. And I was, we were there. We created that. That started in the early 90s, and having a great defense, dominant defense. Most of all those guys are on the ring.
Pretty good defense when you got, when you look at not only Bill Moss, there's a plethora. You got Art Steele, Gary Spaney, Neil Smith, Derek Thomas. You got Deron Cherry, Albert Lewis, Kevin Ross.
All these guys you played with, Lloyd Ferris.
You know, all of them. And so the fact of it is, you know, here's the deal though. I mean, I don't want to sugarcoat this, Dane. One of the most impressive things about this beast of a nose tackle, one of the best nose tackles that ever played the game in the NFL. Here's the thing that not everybody knows. He was a two-time All-American and also he was an academic All-American recognition.
Wow.
Come on.
Come on, Billy. Man, you should be.
This is like the most cherished memory. Remember when we were in high school and we had our letter jackets and, you know, where I was from, we used to sew on all the medals and we'd go down the hallway, ching, ching, chong, you know, and you could hear the medals clanking. My most prized possession was my 100 words a minute typing pen. And you, I bragged about it. You don't ever say squat about being an academic All-American recognition, Billy. And you need to start wearing that letter jacket with that pen on there. It says academic All-American.
Yeah, I can't remember that. That's the only problem. That was a long time ago. Yeah. And now you can't type that fast because all your fingers are broken.
I can't. Every one of them is broken, man. So I am so happy about this. And this is going to happen on December 7th when they're bringing you in there and you're doing pretty much Bill Moss Day. All the alumni will be back and it'll be a big day. We'll be there for that game day. You and I are flying in for that to see our buddy. But, you know, Billy, when you're looking back and you know you've gotten the respect that you deserve as one of the most disruptive defensive linemen in your era, what do you think as far as taking back away from your career? You know, you had your great career at Kansas City and you ended up in Green Bay. What do you think the difference is in? Those are two of the best NFL football institutions in the world to have the ability to, the opportunity to play for. Talk a little bit about the pride of just playing for such great teams as that, you know, that, what those legacies mean.
I mean, the Packers are one of the originals, right, in pro football. And the Chiefs were, Lamar Hunt started the AFL. I got to play for two of the most storied franchises in the NFL. And the common denominator is what we were just talking about, the fan base, right? It's the similarities between the Packers Ring of Honor and the Chiefs Ring of Honor, and they were in the first Super Bowl against each other, and the tailgating and the stadiums and, you know, the passion that those fans have, those fan bases have for their teams. I mean, they're almost identical. It's just really cool to be part of both those teams, and it's even more special that they have the same common denominator, and it's family and fans.
Yeah.
And that's what both those organizations are.
You know, thinking about this too, is that we grew up and went through, you know, the last of kind of the old school era. Okay. You know, we're right now, we're in the thick of training camp, and Dane and I were at the Bears training camp the other day. And I'm looking at this, I'm like going, this is training camp today. I mean, I'm like going, how much longer do you think you could have played with training camp like it is today? I mean, I am shocked at the difference, Billy. I mean, how would you describe real training camp from our era versus today? Just give the fans an idea so they know that I'm not blowing smoke in the fact that having 22 surgeries out of the game and you having a dozen or so. Well, I mean, it was a different game, man.
Yeah, it's, you know, well, just look at all the players that are playing now into their 40s, right? I mean, it used to be if at 27 years old, a running back was done. Derrick Henry, you know, just put up 1,800 yards last season at 31, 32. Yeah. So, you know, it's different. You don't have all the wear and tear. And that's the one thing I would say that the collective bargaining agreement really benefited the players. Mm-hmm. And plus, look at sports science now, too, Jim. I mean, all the things the players do with the contrast and the massages and all the things that are out there technology-wise – you know, hyperbaric chambers and, you know, red cells, light stim, and all. I mean, there's so many different things out there.
Cryo, all of it, you know.
Prolong.
Yeah, everything.
That help prolong your career.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the career-ending injuries of the past are now just pauses, right? It's just a pause, and you may come back just as good or better. Or it's not the same.
I had a terrible triad in 1985, and it took over a year to come back. It was a year and 4 months. Now they're having ACL recoveries and guys playing running back positions come back in 6 months, which I think is a little premature, but it is amazing the medical improvements and technology that have happened. But, you know, speaking of training camp, what would be one old school era training camp things that you would bring back that you think is needed in camps today?
It's needed.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing, I mean, the whole game, the philosophy of the game has changed due to the fact that, you know, the 20-hour rule in college, you don't work on your specific. What got taken out is, honed in. You didn't spend 45 minutes at your position working on little things that can make you better. So multiply that by 4 years and you get into the pros and all these guys are into the pros and you have a 2-hour practice. I mean, you've got to focus on the game plan primarily. So you don't get to hone your skills at each position. And I think that's, you know, that's a big thing. Mm-hmm. You cannot do live run blocking or pass rush without full pads. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work. You can't do tackling without full pads. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those things I think have helped change the game. And, you know, they say they protect it, but, I think this is why you're seeing a lot more injuries mm-hmm. when you see these preseason games that come on for the first time. And then early in the season, the first 4 weeks, mm-hmm. you see a lot of injuries that pop up just because of that. You have to hit every day the same way to condition your body for the long haul of the season.
And the recovery from those hits, too. You know, shifting gears on looking at the Chiefs roster for this year, what do you like and what worries you? And do you think that they are going to come back and, you know, be the same Chiefs that we've known for the last 3 or 4 years?
That's the thing about it. You always think it's going to be, well, that's in place, but we're going to get better in this area. And the reality of it is each and every year is just a snowflake, right? I mean, you just got to figure it out. Something's going to come up. You might look good at this period, but then you get figured out and then all of a sudden it becomes a weakness. And to expect them to have the longevity and keep going the way they did or have been that's not how the NFL works. Because there's a lot of other teams that are getting better. Mm-hmm. Just look at that division, right? You've got Hall of Fame coaches up and down, right? You've got great quarterbacks at 3 of the 4 teams. So just think you're going to stay on the same page. If you think that way, it's going to bite you in the ass. You've got to work your tail off to become what you want to be each and every season. That being said, I think they got a little bit better on defense, and I think that they really hit on this offensive tackle. Now, we haven't had live games yet, but I've seen enough of him to see that he's got a nasty attitude in him. I was up at training camp. They got a steal. Mm-hmm. The other teams are going to be saying, why did we pass on this guy? It was a heck of a surgery he had.
Right.
But this guy really wants to play, and he battles hard. So, you know, that's going to help. If he turns out to be what I think he can be, the left tackle's position is going to be secure for some time.
That's good.
So, Bill, you mentioned all the other teams are working. It's a tough division. They're trying to figure things out. I feel that the Chiefs have benefited from the Mahomes mystique, that regardless, that there was sort of a faith built up that no matter, sort of like a Michael Jordan situation or Joe Montana, right, where you didn't know how he was going to do it, or Tom Brady, but you knew in the end he was going to win. They were going to beat you. It was just inevitable, like Tiger Woods at the red shirt or Mike Tyson coming into the ring. And when you say figured it out, I think we all got to see in the biggest stage in the Super Bowl, Mahomes became human, right? He, it was thing if it was one series or two series, but it was the entire game, and he just looked beatable, right? It was like Superman. You're like, oh my gosh, he can, you could get him. And so how much do you think that's going to come into play, where that I think is going to be inspirational talk in locker rooms all across the NFL, or at least Chiefs opponents saying like, hey, they can be beat.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's hard to come back from a manhandling like that. And they've had a long off season to think about it. I mean, that's what it was. It was an absolute manhandling.
It was.
And, that's tough. That's a tough pill to swallow pride-wise when that's your profession. And that's what you used to hand out So when the tables turn on you, it's a real humbling experience. So, but I think in the same token, it's kind of fueled them a little bit, right? And this has been in their crawl all off season, and you know they want to redeem themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And redemption for the Chiefs isn't about going out and winning four games.
No, it's winning the Super Bowl. So,
yeah, that's especially when you got that combination. You got a once in a lifetime quarterback, and with Andy Reid's mind and imagination and the things they do, it's a perfect storm. So it's not going to be easy, but I wouldn't count them out of anything.
Yeah. Hey, in regards to around the league, who's going to be the surprise this year? Last year, I will painfully remind you, you said that the Jets were going to be something. They turned out to be nothing, and I didn't think Aaron Rodgers did. Do you think Aaron Rodgers, let's talk about him, do you think he's got any magic whatsoever to give to the Steelers, and who else do you think will be a surprise this year? You should know the Steelers might be an interesting follow all year.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be, and they're going to be followed closely, and I'd hate to see that thing blow up the way, you know, he's blown up Green Bay and
the Jets. Yeah.
Because the Steelers tradition is a big one too, right? I mean, what they stand for, the Rooney family. If things go bad with a new offensive coordinator there, and him and Rodgers don't get on the same page, I could see that going south pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. But in the same token, you know, I can see that becoming, you know, a lot. They got weapons there. Mm-hmm. And they've got the offensive line figured out. And if they stick to running the ball and play action, you know, and Rodgers could have, you know, a good year if he sticks to what he does. So it'll be interesting to see. They're always going to play good defense in Pittsburgh. You know that. Mm-hmm. And but that's an interesting division, too. So, like I said, Pittsburgh, it could go either way. I hope it doesn't go south for him because that franchise doesn't deserve that.
We're going
and it does. That would be Tomlin's last deal.
Yeah, no doubt. Here in a week or so, we're going to have you on the show. We're going to go down. We're going to do it again, you know, and you can give us all your prognosticate about, you know, and I'll make the notes and we'll play it again. I'll pull it up for, I'll have last year's show pulled up for this year on all of the things that we said.
I said that about the Jets, but I also said Washington's going to be a player.
You did. You did.
I picked them to win the division.
You and my son James and I was like, what are you guys smoking? I think the Commanders are going to be good again this year. I'm not for sure yet. I haven't you know, I've been watching. We watched the Bears up there, and I was going to go up to Green Bay and watch them. The NFC North to me is going to be really interesting because of, you know, Detroit losing Ben Johnson to the Bears. You know, the Bears have a tough schedule. I mean, that over under 8.5 games, man, I'm rethinking that $10,000 I put on them. I got to maybe see about offsetting
caught up
in
that. The moment.
Yeah, I got caught in the moment of my own excitement, but I was so pumped up about, I think Caleb Williams is a real deal there, but that NFC North with, I think Detroit takes a step back. I got to think that J.J. McCarthy can't have the same year as Sam Darnold did because he had a world record, you know, all-time career year. And so I just think those two might step back. I think Green Bay would be the same thing. But the Bears really are the ones that's got everybody's attention in the
They've got some players.
Yeah, they got players.
That's why. They've got some players.
Yeah, they really do. Draft was good for them as well. I thought they did really good in the draft, but we're going to circle back. And then certainly we're going to be doing that show with Billy in a week or so, but we wanted to take this special, moment to number one, just celebrate and basically just acknowledge and what a great career. And, you know, as one of the best nose tackles I've ever seen in pro football. Hey, before I go, I got a quick question. Who do you think is a Bill Moss type player on the line these days? Who do you watch that you go, hey, that guy's tough?
Man, I'll tell you what, Chris Jones is a beast. I couldn't do the things he does, but he's really something. It's, you know, like you said, it's a different game.
Keep it in the family too. I love it, buddy. Keep it in the Chiefs red, baby.
He's darn good. I mean, he is good. I could see when he. When he wants to beat you up, you're going to get beat up.
Sure. Yeah, that's one of those scary deals where he goes, hey, I'm going to beat you up. And you go, darn it, I know it, darn it. This guy's going to beat me up. It's going to hurt.
No, please don't. No, but Bill, like last thing we wanted to mention it too is excitement for the NFL is as high as it has ever been. It is always a maintained high, of course, excitement for what you're doing with the honors. Obviously still there. Do you have an internal, Jim Bob had mentioned like, hey, when it gets to this part on the calendar, you feel like, hey, I should be working out. And you're like, I'm not sure why, right? Or was it like PTSD because training camp used to be hard? I mean, is there like a part where the calendar happens where something you're just like, I don't know why, but I feel like I should be doing something right now.
So this time of year, almost every year, I just start getting antsy.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I'm just jonesing for football.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like I'm getting nervous for training camp.
I'll tell you this. I used to, it was funny you bring that up, Dane, is that for years after I was out, I mean, up until like the time I was like pinned in my 50s, man, I'd start working out harder in June and July and August just out of, I don't know. But I will tell you, once you cross the 60-year-old barrier mark, just so everybody knows, I'm aging myself here a lot, young people, all you hotties out there, I'm old. But the fact of it is that I will tell you, after 60, when August hits, I'm on the couch. There's no more working out, man. But I got to tell you, I used to get that anxiety. I am getting the mental anxiety for this season. I will tell you, I think it's going to be, I think the Eagles are going to repeat, though, Billy. I got to tell you, that team is so deep in roster.
They're stacked.
And they're good. And listen, I didn't like him when he was in Kansas City, and he basically flipped off all the fans when he went off the field there that last time he was there. But, man, he did stick it to us in the Super Bowl. And I just think they're so good, and the talent on that team and the camaraderie. And you know, it starts with Barkley, though, and what a great running back. And then the fact that, hey, no, I don't need to play in this game to get the all-time NFL rushing mark. I prefer to win the Super Bowl. That said everything to everybody, and right then and there I knew trouble,
and that code just remains uncracked. There was not a team that could stop him, so I think that whole thing continues this year. They do have the best shot.
Oh, absolutely. And they're stacked, and they can do it. And look, that quarterback's darn good quarterback, and he's in the perfect offense for him, where they're gonna pound the ball on that offensive line and Quan Barkley. I mean, they've got something going there that, you know, injury free, they could.
I would like to see how the tush push would go. I want to see, the one thing I want to know about Hall of Famer Bill Moss is that they didn't outlaw and rule out the tush push. What do you think teams are going to have to do? They're going to have to get six Bill Mosses on the line to stop that. I mean, Chris Jones and Bill Moss, I think you guys could pretty much put up a pretty good fight against that tush push. But what do you think of them not outlawing that? And what do you think about how our team's going to stop it?
You know, it's goal line. It's what it is. It's goal line football.
It's what it is.
You have to want to do that. Okay. It's not just so much about the push. I mean, push back. Right. But the one thing
that's the game plan.
Push back. What's the game plan?
Push back.
Push back.
Hey, look. You know, the thing about it is they took away that when linebackers used to push linemen through the offensive line, they kind of outlawed that.
Well, how come they can do it with quarterbacks?
And so at least make the playing field even.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think that ought to be the deal. I honestly, if you can push the quarterback through the A gap, why can't you push the linebacker through the A gap? Or the linebacker defensive lineman through it. I agree with you. I think that's where the rule change should have been. If they would have allowed that, I would have gone, okay, that's fair. It's not really pushback. It's we get to push more, and you can only exert yourself. You can't get any help.
But it is definitely something you can plan for, because you see it coming a mile away. It's like, you know what we're going to do.
Yeah, you know it's coming.
Yeah.
You know it's coming. That's for sure.
Yeah. Hey, buddy, thanks for the time today, my man. And then we'll look forward to seeing you in a week or so. We'll go over so study up, babe. We're going to go over every single division and everything. And congratulations, Billy Bob Moss, Chiefs Hall of Fame.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate you.